Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts, now and always, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. On 4th of September 1962, Bill Walker joined the Royal Navy just 4 days before his 15th birthday. Bill chose this course as he had been interested in what was out there in the world. He had no idea of the Royal Navy culture, but it revolved around lots of alcohol. Bill was very ill prepared for what he came across, as his parents were teetotalers. The Royal Navy had been issuing rum to the crews for over 300 years, and the aroma permeated every part of the ship through the ventilation. This became a part of Bill's life for 10 years. After his time in the Royal Navy, Bill joined British Petroleum, and here it was even worse, as the bars were open all times. He came ashore in 1983 thinking drinking excess was normal. Over the coming years, he felt his health was affected, and all the more, he hurt his family very badly and found himself lost. In our gospel reading today, we find a similar theme of lost and found within a family. We have been introduced to three characters, a man and his two sons. Each one of these characters in this parable significantly contributes to its meaning. At one level, the parable is about relationships in a family. The father represents God the Father in heaven, who shows mercy to those who repent. The prodigal son represents the person who is turned away from God. And the elder son represents those who are resentful, like the Pharisees and the scribes, when the tax collectors and sinners are welcomed by Jesus. Jesus tells this parable in the context of the Pharisees and the scribes, who were grumbling about Jesus welcoming sinners and eating with them. This parable illustrates that God the Father is generous, compassionate, and loving to those who are lost and truly repent. The parable begins with the younger son asking his father for his share of his inheritance, which he will eventually get when his father dies. But he couldn't wait. This would have brought his father a great deal of shame, just as much as him asking for his share even before his father's death. The father actually divided the property. That was indeed remarkable. Out of generosity, he does it, and nothing else would have prompted him. From the story, we can see that it is probable that the father looked after his son well, as the story reveals that he had servants who were all well treated and fed. His father would have felt distressed about his son leaving him to go to a distant land. Surely, the father would have worried about his son's poor choice, but he decided to let go of him. Not knowing the outside world, the son wanders off and enjoys his life with the money he has inherited. When everything was spent, he realizes how desperate he is for food and money, as he has been starving. Maybe when he had money, he had friends surrounding him. Now he is all on his own. he finds employment, looking after and feeding the pigs, a job that is so dishonorable for a Jew. He has lost both his cultural and religious identity. As a Jew, working for a Gentile, caring for pigs, he cannot fall any lower. This lost son, now in the mire of the swine pen and starving, realizes how bad his situation has become. He came to his senses, acknowledging his mistake in leaving his father and the life he had on the farm. He discovers himself what sort of state he is in. Like the younger son, sometimes we make choices that are rebellious and immature and wanted to do things on our own, only to find ourselves in the bottom of the pit, to come to our senses. Often, when faced with a great deal of sorrow or tragedy, that's when we look up to the one who can help us. The day this all changed for Bill was one afternoon, when he returned home from work to find his twin daughters hugging each other and sobbing. They found some bottles which were hidden by Bill. This on top, his wife staying away from him, was the lowest point in his life. He thought, "What am I going to do about it?" Bill knew he couldn't do nothing by himself as his body needed alcohol. He had been a lukewarm Christian ever since school. That night, he spent some time on his knees praying to God, desperately to help him get out of the mess he was in. The following morning, he ate breakfast and not drink, as had been the usual. It was only at midday he realized that he had no wish to visit the pub or drink. Weeks passed by. He had no desire for any drink. He returned to where he was as a 15-year-old by God's grace. He has his wife and three daughters back loving and caring him. It has been a wonderful journey for him as he has found his way back to God and testifying what God has done for him. Bill knew how bad his life has turned into. He needed to initiate himself first to make the move to return his way back to seek God's help. In the other two parables, the lost coin and the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, the seeker actively looked for the coin and the sheep because they could not return by themselves. In this parable, the father actively waited, but he was ready to greet his son if he returned. In the same way, God's love is constant and patient and welcoming. It is surprising that the father, being so wealthy with properties and servants, leaving his dignity, actually runs to greet this son. God will search for us and give us opportunities to respond, but he will not force us to come to him. Like the father in the story, God looks for us and waits patiently for us to come to our senses. God's greatest love reaches out to those who are eager to come to him, no matter why and how they are lost. The younger son's decision about rising marks the beginning of his transformation from death to life. In contrast to his father's acceptance of his younger son, the elder son had difficulty in accepting his younger brother when he returned. the father was able to forgive his son because he was filled with love. But the elder son refused to accept his younger brother's return because he was filled with bitterness. When people have led notorious life and have returned from it, we often find ourselves in suspicion and unwilling to accept them. A real blessing takes place when we share in God's grace. Being with Christ means receiving and rejoicing with others, even when they do not deserve our forgiveness. Every individual is of high value to God. That means none is excluded from this grace. Neither should we withhold our forgiveness. This parable provides us an example to celebrate with an unbeliever returning to God. Like God the Father who forgives those who truly repent, let us also welcome and support them in their Christian journey. In this parable, we are showed that this is what God does. God shows his love, compassion, and grace when we least deserve it. There is abundance of grace available, but like the prodigal son in our story today, we need to come to our senses in receiving God. This parable teaches us that our response in turning to Christ is vitally important, and that we, like the angels in heaven, celebrate whenever a lost person is found. Though the elder son obeyed and kept all the commandments and covenants and not wandered off, he resented for allowing his younger brother to be welcomed home. His refusal to come to celebrate in singing and rejoicing shows exactly like those who may not necessarily find themselves entering in the kingdom of God. Well, let us examine ourselves to see whether our self-righteousness gets in the way of rejoicing when others come to Christ. God has graciously saved us and welcomed us. So may we graciously welcome and forgive others. Amen. Thank you.